Okay, so it's the verse on the board is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 4, and the verse number is 197. And I'm going to read a few other verses before that, from 187. So, and beg permission from all the Vaishnavas, so I can hear and online, so I can get blessings to be able to speak on this transcendental and highly elevated subject matter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, so I'll just go through this. There's nine verses, which I don't have a purport apart from just one small purport, and then we'll recite this verse together after that. Okay. Sri Gopal wanted to show how intensely Madhavendra Puri loved Krishna. Therefore, he asked him to go to Nilachal to fetch sandalwood and camphor. With great trouble and after much labor, Madhavendra Puri brought the load of sandalwood to Ramuna. However, he was still very pleased. He discounted all the difficulties. To test the intense love of Madhavendra Puri, Gopal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ordered him to bring sandalwood from Nilachal. And when Madhavendra Puri passed this examination, the Lord became very merciful to him. Such behavior exalted in loving service between the devotee and the devotee's lovable object, Sri Krishna, is transcendental. It is not possible for a common man to understand. Common men do not even have the capacity. that's them out of it then. After saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the famous verse of Madhavendra Puri. That verse is just like the moon. It has spread illumination all over the world. Continuous rubbing increases the aroma of Malaya sandalwood. Similarly, consideration of this verse increases one's understanding of its importance. As the Kashtubha money is considered the most precious of valuable stones, this verse is similarly considered the best of poems dealing with the mellows of devotional service. Actually, this verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani herself, and by her mercy only was it manifest in the words of Madhavendra Puri. Only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has tasted the poetry of this verse. No fourth man is capable of understanding it. And there's a small purport on that. This indicates that only Srimati Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are capable of understanding the purport of this verse. Madhavendra Puri recited this verse again and again, and at the end of his material existence, thus uttering this verse, he attained the ultimate goal of life. Okay, so we get to the verse number 197, which is on the board. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Cha. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? Purport. The uncontaminated devotees who strictly depend on the Vedanta philosophy are divided into four sampradayas, or transcendental parties. Out of the four sampradayas, the Sri Madhvacharya sampradaya was accepted by Madhavendra Puri. Thus, he took sannyas according to parampara. The disciplic succession, beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, the Acharya named Lakshmipati, there was no realization of devotional service in conjugal love. Sri Madhavendra Puri introduced the conception of conjugal love for the first time in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, and this conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he touched southern India and met the Tattvavadis, who supposedly belong to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. When Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feelings of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus, devotional service in separation is central to this verse. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Thus he addresses the Lord as Dina Dayadranath, as did Madhavendra Puri. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service. Because Krishna had gone to Mathura, Srimati Radharani was very much affected, and she expressed herself thus, "My dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I am very poor and you are very merciful. So kindly have compassion upon me and let me know when I shall see you." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always expressing the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. Similar feelings expressed by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feelings experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Madhavendra Puri through Ishwara Puri. All the devotees in the line of the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Bangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So special blessings from Jai Krishna Prabhu. To be able to do something to serve the Vaishnavas. So these are very highly elevated subject matters. I'm definitely not qualified to speak on these, but somehow or other, during the lockdown, we're having to scrape the barrel, you know, to see who we can get to give class, you know. So, I mean, Sutapa would be good to give class every day, but I think he's too humble to do that, you know. So don't worry, we have Atmanivedana Maharaj. He's coming out of isolation today, so you will definitely get a lot of benedictions from him in the form of instructions. You know? So, yeah, so it's explained here that Madhavendra Puri is the first Vaishnav in the parampara, in the Madhva Sampradaya, to actually introduce the conjugal ras, you know. Before that, most people were just worshipping Krishna in awe and reverence. And also, a lot of the time, they were just worshipping Krishna alone. You know? So if you go to many Vishnu temples and stuff, it's all awe and reverence, you know. And it's like, you know, it's like Vishnu is the main deity, or Nrisingadev, or like that. But Madhavendra Puri introduced actually... There's different rasas, so the Madhurya Bhav, you know, is very, very high ras, and it's conjugal ras. So when this conjugal ras is, it's like so elevated, it's very, very amazing. So Srila Prabhupada gives the example that just like if she's married and she's doing duties at home, but she has a paramour, you know, apart from her husband. So then she's doing her duties, and she probably does them very nicely. But all the time she's thinking of her paramour, you know. All the time she's thinking. So this conjugal bhav is like that, that the devotee is completely absorbed in love for that supreme person, and he cannot stop thinking about that person, and it's completely like absorbing. So Prabhupada, he speaks about is separation, service in separation, and vipralamba, you know. So that he explains that as the highest. So how is it the highest? So like in our own lives, we see that you know, we're with so many devotees, you know, and we sit next to them, or we queue up with them in the prasadam line, or you know, we just pass by them in the corridor, and we don't think so much of it, you know. But then one day when that devotee is no longer easily available, you know, or just like recently we experienced with His Grace Shruti Dharma Prabhu, you know, like me and Jai Krishna, we were with him for 40 years, you know, 40 odd years. And, you know, I mean, you know, we loved him and everything. But then when he left this world and he wasn't there anymore, then that intensity of separation from him became very strong. It's like wow, you know. So they say that you don't know what you have until it's gone, you know. So like we see with Mother Kalangana, you know, we would pass her in the corridor and say Haribol and this and that, you know. But she's, after she left, you know, then it was like, oh my God, you know, this was a pure devotee, great soul that was residing in our midst. And, you know, did I really take advantage, you know? Did I actually, you know, honor her as I should have, you know? And then now recently with His Holiness Bhakti Churu Maharaj, you know, he's finished his manifest pastimes in this world, and you know, otherwise Bhakti Churu Maharaj, sometimes he comes to the temple, or his lectures are there, and you know, and you see him sometimes, and you think, oh yeah, Bhakti Churu Maharaj, yeah, I'll offer obeisances and Haribol, you know. But then when he finishes his manifest pastimes, then it's, oh my God, you know. So that intensity is like all the devotees around the world are like glorifying him, meditating on him and his qualities, and it's like, wow. So this, I was thinking like sometimes like there's some soldiers, they have to go, you know, on tour of duty. So sometimes they're away for 6 months, a year, or even longer. So, you know, their loved ones, you know, their wife or their children or their parents or even their dog, you know, like that. So, you know, they're thinking of that person even more, you know. And it's 'cause sometimes if they're there all the time, they think, oh, you're getting under my feet, you know. They say, oh, we take them for granted. So when they return, then it's like something very special. So anyway, I don't know much about these topics because they are, you know, above my head, but we ended up on this verse, so we have to try and share something that we've heard. So there's Madhavendra Puri is an amazing devotee, and he is very, very exalted indeed. Radhanath Maharaj was saying that actually Madhavendra Puri is a Kalpa Vriksha from the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, and he has the Gopi Bhav. That means that he has his loving mellows that he can interact in these beautiful pastimes with Radha and Krishna. So he manifested in this world to share these transcendental teachings, and he was the disciple of Lakshmipati, and he initiated Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, and he initiated Ishwara Puri, and then Ishwara Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted Ishwara Puri as his spiritual master. So I'm going to read a few verses from songbook. I don't know if any of you know this song. It's called the Sri Guru Parampara Song, and it's compiled by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. Have any of you come across this before? Okay, so it's quite a long song, so I won't read all the verses, and neither am I a very good singer, so I'll just select a few verses, and then we'll read the translation. Krishna hoite chaturmukha hoi Krishna sevan mukha Brahma hoite naradera mate Narada hoite vyasa madvako he vyasa dasa Puna pragna padmanabha gati Jaya dharma dhyasya khyati Shri Purushottam Jati Dahate Brahmanya Tirtha Shuri Vyasatara Dasa Lakshmipati Vyasa Dasa Tahate Madhavendra Puri Madhavendra Puri Bara Shishya Bara Shri Eshwara Nityananda Sri Advaita Vibhu Ishwara Puri Kedanya Kodilen Sri Chaitanya Jagad Guru Gaura Maha Prabhu Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya Rupanuga Janera Jivanam Vishwambara Priyankara Sri Swarupa Damodara Sri Goswami Rupasana Tan. So there's some amazing verses. So if devotees get a chance, they must look up this Sri Guru Parampara song by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. And it actually gives the whole parampara, right from Krishna to Brahma to Narada to Vyasa, all the way down. And at the end, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he says, I said, I don't know anything about devotional service, but I'm a lowly tree dandi sannyasi. So if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj doesn't know much about devotional service, then I don't think we've got much chance. But that's just his humility. So I'll just read a couple of the translations so we can just get a glimpse, you know. Okay, so the first one. In the beginning of creation, the science of devotional service was received by the four-headed Brahma from the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Devarshi Narad's understanding of this divine science was obtained by Brahma, the great sage Krishna Dwaipayan Vyas, who was empowered to compile the Vedic literatures, became a disciple of Devarshi Narad. Sripad Madhvacharya, the founder of the Shuddha Dwait school of Vedanta philosophy, who visited Vyasadeva at Badrik Ashram in the 13th century to learn from him, Vedanta philosophy, calls himself a servant of Krishna Dwaipan Vyas. And then I'll go on to the fourth. The great sannyasi Sri Purushottam Tirtha received this knowledge in the service of Sri Guru, of his Guru, Vijay Dwaj Tirtha, Jaya Dharma. The principal disciple of Purushottam Tirtha was Subramanya Tirtha. His servant was the great Vyasa Tirtha. Shishi Radha Gokulanandaji ki, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gauranitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai. His servant was Vyasa Tirtha, Vyasa Rai. Vyasa Tirtha's servant was Lakshmipati Tirtha, whose disciple was Madhavendra Puri Goswami. So we've been reading a lot about Madhavendra Puri in the Saturday and Sunday classes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we can see that actually he's coming in the Guru Parampara, and he's a very, very amazing devotee. So the chief disciple of Madhavendra Puri was Ishwara Puri, and two of his other disciples were renowned incarnations of Godhead, Sri Nityananda and Advaita Acharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the spiritual perceptor of the worlds, made Ishwarapuri greatly fortunate by accepting him as his spiritual master. So they say, oh, you know, Lord Chaitanya, he's the Supreme Lord, and he accepted Ishwarapuri. Now, how does that work? You know? So it's saying here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he made Ishwarapuri greatly fortunate by accepting it as spiritual master. So Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, they're the supreme lord of all the creation. So they're the supreme master of the whole of all the worlds. But they enact pastimes and also they show by example, you know. So even Krishna, you know, he accepted Sandipani Muni, you know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Ishwarapuri, so that we don't have excuse, you know, that we think, oh, we can be a freelance, you know. So, but like Krishna, he accepted Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, or Devaki and Vasudev as his parents, you know, because they're very, very elevated, very special devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, Jagannath Mitra and Sachi Mata. So, Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya is non-different from Sri Radha and Krishna and is the very life of those Vaishnavas who follow Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami were the givers of great happiness to Vishrambar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so those were those verses, but then at the end, there's two more verses. One is the one that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he wrote. And then there was an addition. So disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they continued by adding another verse, which is glorifying Srila Prabhupada and adding him to the list on the parampara. So it says, Ihara paramahamsa gorangera nijabamsa tadera charane mama gati ami sheba udasina namete tridandidina sri bhakti siddhanta sara swati. These great saintly Vaishnavas are all paramhansas and devotees of the highest order. And they are all part of Lord Gauranga's own spiritual family. Their holy feet are my refuge. I have no real interest in devotional service, and I am poor and lowly. And I am a poor and lowly Tridandi sannyasi named Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And then the other verse was added. Sri Vashabana Bivara Sadhya Seva Seva Para Taradaita dasanama Tara pradan pracharaku Ti bhakti vedanta namo Patita janete doya dham. The renowned Sri Vashabhanabhi Daita Das, the initiated name of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, is always engaged in the service of his spiritual master Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji. His foremost disciple, the preacher, is Sri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has spread the message of Lord Chaitanya throughout the world and is thus a reservoir of mercy and compassion for all fallen souls. Okay, so it is really amazing, poetry in those verses. And these songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas are the condensed nectar, you know. So, we get the milk, we cook it down and cook it down, and then we make rubbery or make Mangalati sweets, you know. So this is the conclusions of all Vedic teachings are there in the prayers and songs of the great Vaishnava Acharyas. And it's like amazing. And also we see that although they are greatly, highly elevated souls, they aren't puffed up, you know. They're considering themselves to be very lowly, you know, and insignificant, you know. So Madhavendra Puri, he's a very, very powerful, pure devotee of the Lord, and the Lord manifested many, many pastimes with him. He's exhibiting this complete surrender to Krishna. So according to Shastra, there are six symptoms of surrender. Can anybody put their hand up and tell me if they can remember any of the six symptoms of surrender? And overeating Mahaprasad is in one of them. Srinivas? Okay, very good, yeah. Accepting what is favorable for devotional service? Yep, absolutely. And then any of the other five? Jai? Living in the Holy Dham? I'm sure it's favorable, but it's not listed here. Mataji? Yeah, accepting that which is favorable and rejecting that which is not favorable, which is the both sides of the coin. So that's the full story on that. So any others? Okay, yeah. That Krishna will protect you. Yeah. That means faith that Krishna will surely protect. Yep. Any others? Oh, okay. So, acceptance of the Lord as one's only maintainer. Wow, that's a good one. Eh? Any others? Cyrus, you got any hidden? Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's it's like accepting Krishna as one's only maintainer. Okay, so I'll run. Humility. Okay, that's a great. We've just been seeing that humility in the songs of the acharyas. Okay, so it's called Sharangati is the very life of the true devotee. Sharangati, taking shelter. So the ways of Sharangati are of surrender are humility, dedication of the self. Complete dedication of the self, acceptance of the Lord as one's only maintainer, faith that Krishna will surely protect, and execution of only those acts favorable to pure devotion, and renunciation of conduct adverse to pure devotion. So those are if we want to measure ourselves or test ourselves, if we're surrendering, then we can. Check that list and see how well we're doing on that list, how many we're actually kind of adhering to those. You know? So it's like you put the universal indicator and the color it goes, you can say it's alkaline or it's acidic, you know. So it's a polarity test. You know? So yeah, there's now this little pastime of Madhavendra Puri here. So Madhavendra Puri appeared almost mad in the love of God. He loudly chanted and sang the names and glories of the Lord without thinking of the time or place. Sometimes in his ecstasy he didn't know whether it was day or night. Sometimes he laughed and sometimes he wept. Sometimes he danced wildly and sometimes he fell on the ground unconscious. He took absolutely no interest in anything not connected with Krishna. And for fear of talking about anything other than the Lord, he always lived without a companion. He would eat only if somebody offered him food. Otherwise, he would simply fast. So I think we heard this before, but it's so nice pastime, we'll say it again. You know, it's in many remarkable ways, Krishna returned Madhavendra Puri's intense love. Once Madhavendra Puri was fasting and meditating beneath a tree in the forest of Vrindavan, and this place where this pastime took place is actually Govinda Kund. You know? I know Sutapa's been there and he likes that very much. Has any of the other devotees been to Govinda Kund? Yeah, you've been to Govinda Kund. Okay, well done. So it's beautiful. That's the place where Indra came and he did the Abhishek ceremony for Krishna. Well, that's after he did the big boo-boo, you know, but... he had to try and make up for it. You know? The first time he came, Krishna wasn't interested. So he asked advice from Brahma, and Brahma told him, actually, why don't you take Surabhi in the front, you know? Then Krishna might be more accepting, you know? So at this place, once Vrindapuri was fasting and meditating beneath a tree in the forest of Vrindavan at Govindakund, where thousands of years before Krishna had played as a child, suddenly a beautiful cowherd boy, Gopal, came with a pot of milk and placed it before Madhavendra. "Please drink this milk I have brought you," the boy said. Seeing the beauty of the boy, Madhavendra Puri became satisfied in his mind, and hearing those sweet words, he forgot all hunger and thirst. Then within an instant, the boy left the place and did not return. Madhavendra Puri's heart was filled with wonder. Later, he realized who the boy actually was and cried out in great ecstatic love, "I saw Lord Krishna directly, but I couldn't recognize him." So there was a similar pastime with Bilva Mangal Thakur. So, you know, he was quite lusty before Bilva Mangal, and he used to go and see prostitutes and so many other things. And one day was a big storm, and so many, it's like raging, the river was overflowing and so on. But he thought, I'm going to go. Somehow or other, you know, used a dead body to cross the river, like, and he was like, climbed up the wall because Chintamani, the prostitute, had locked the gates and thought, "He's not coming tonight because it's a tornado going on," you know. But anyway, he somehow was so determined to get there. So he did get there, but then Chintamani, the prostitute, she told him that, "You know, you made so much endeavor to come here tonight, you know. If you had made even a part of the endeavor to get Krishna, you would have already attained him by now." So she chastised him and she instructed him. So then she became his spiritual master. So then he left, and then he was going to Vrindavan. And then what happened? He happened to stop at one householder's home, and he was residing, and then he became very lusty after the wife of the householder. So then the householder said, "Oh, you know, how can I serve you?" Then he said, "Oh, I want to enjoy your wife." You know, so he was thinking, "Oh my God, he's a Brahmin, you know, he's asking for something. How can I refuse him?" So he said, "Okay, fine." So then his wife came, and then his intelligence was starting to kick in. So then he said, "Okay, give me your hairpin," you know. So then he said, "These eyes have caused me so much trouble, you know, because everywhere I look, you know, I'm trying to enjoy, you know." So then he plucked his eyes out, you know. So then he continued his journey to Vrindavan. And when he got to Vrindavan, he sat down like Madhavendra Puri did underneath a tree, and he was chanting. And then a young boy came, you know, a very sweet boy came and said, "Oh," he said, "in my village, nobody fasts, you know. So I brought you some nice milk, you know, or sweet rice. I can't remember what it was, but either one would be good, you know." He said, "Take this." And then, so Madhavendra Puri, he suddenly realized that this is Krishna. But he was blind, so he couldn't see. So he tried to grab Krishna's hand, you know. And Krishna said, "Oh, you know, I've got to go back, otherwise my mother will be angry." You know, so Krishna's hand slipped out from Bilva Mangal Thakur's grasp, and then he disappeared. So then Bilva Mangal Thakur, he thought and he prayed, and he said, "Krishna," he said, "you might get out of the grasp of, you might get out of the grasp of my hand, but you'll never escape from my heart, you know, because I'll always keep you there, you know." So that's amazing pastime. So there was, I think, like great Vaishnava devotees, they perform many, many pastimes, and it's all the Lord's Leela that somehow. He's doing so many wonderful things that they say Krishna is a butter thief, you know. So, you know, he steals butter, he steals yogurt, and, you know. But actually, they said that if you want to enjoy in this material world, you know, then don't glance upon this beautiful boy, you know. Otherwise, your hope for enjoyment in this world will be finished. You know? Because he not only steals butter, but he steals hearts, you know, like that. So there's a danger that he may steal your heart, and then you may lose interest in the mundane things of this world. You know? So be careful. Don't say that you haven't been warned. You know? In the verses leading up to this particular verse, it showed that Madhavendra Puri took great difficulty, great austerity to bring, you know, 82, you know, pounds of sandalwood, you know, all the way for Gopal. He was bringing it for Gopal, but there was Mohammedans there, and there was so much trouble. He could have been, he didn't have any money with him, or he was just like, you know, it was during the Muslim rule, and so it's very difficult. But he took on great austerity, like it was like walking 800 miles, you know. And then, you know, if we have to walk to the Gaushala and back, you know, we think, oh, can I use the bicycle, you know. But he was doing that. He was saying great, you know, difficulty. So, like Srila Prabhupada, he took great austerities and great difficulty, and he did that for the pleasure of his spiritual master, for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Radha and Krishna, to give this Krishna consciousness to all the conditioned souls of this world. So such great examples we have. So then we can admire them, these great souls, and we can hear their pastimes, and we can read their teachings. And then the next thing is that we have to apply those, you know, teachings. And so Srila Prabhupada was saying that he said you are all young, you know, men and ladies, you know. He said, I'm an old man now, you know, at any time I may go. He said, so please take this movement seriously. Please take this Krishna conscious process seriously, and give this Krishna consciousness to other living beings, you know. So that is the real understanding. So he said, if you love Krishna, then you love all living entities, because you realize that all living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. See? So then those living entities who have gone away and forgotten Krishna and are suffering in the pangs of material existence, then reaching out to them, throwing them a lifeline, you know, and helping them, that gives so much pleasure and happiness to all the acharyas of the Guru Parampara, and to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and Radha and Krishna. So basically you are inviting these souls back into the rasa dance, you know. So they're very, very special, very. So that when devotees do those preaching activities, then they become so dear, because Krishna says there's none so dear to me as those who preach my glories, you know. So that's if you want to please the Lord. So there was one pastime. Some devotees say, "Oh, you have to say some sankirtan pastimes, you know. Otherwise, you know, we're not going to let you give class." You know? So I just got some congregation member that messaged me and the other day said, "Oh, we like the sankirtan stories, you know." So anyway, this was a sankirtan story that I read. It wasn't me. So this was a book distributor in Southern California, and he was distributing books out in the town. And he saw there's a restaurant, and then there's tables outside the restaurant. And one man was sitting at one of the tables outside. I don't know, maybe because of the lockdowns, they have to sit outside, you know. So then the book distributor looked carefully, and he saw this man was reading like a part of a book, you know, ripped. So it's like, so he looked carefully, and it was actually a Bhagavad Gita. So this American gentleman was there with, like, you know, say if I rip it, you know, and then I've got part of it, you know. This, so he was reading that. So this devotee, he became curious. So he went to the man and he said, "Excuse me, sir, Where did you get that book?" He said, "Oh, I was walking along and I found it on the street." And he said, "It was just a bit of a book. It's been ripped. There's only about 30 or 40 pages there." And the man said, This book is absolutely amazing. I've never read anything like this in my whole life, you know. This is just so amazing. And, you know, if I could get the whole book, you know, I would be the happiest person in the world, you know. So then the devotee said, oh, it's your lucky day today. Yeah, I've got a copy of the Bhagavad Gita. And the man was like, wow, you got a copy of the Bhagavad Gita. And he gave him a really big donation and he took it, you know. So what had happened is that one devotee had distributed the Bhagavad Gita, and somebody had got it, but then they were quite demoniacs. So they said, I don't want all this rubbish. So then they ripped it and threw it in the street, you know. But this other person was passing by, and he picked up part of the ripped Bhagavad Gita, and he started to read it, and he just like, whoa, it had effect on him like anything. So it shows the power of these books, you know, the time bombs, you know. So these books, they go off, you know. And there was one lady in Birmingham. We were distributing books in Birmingham in 1982 or something. And we knocked on this door, and this Indian gentleman, he let us in. And we spoke to him. We asked him for a donation, gave him a couple of books, and then we left, you know. And then many years later, I think it was last year, I met this lady and her children and her husband, and she's wearing tilak and everything, and she's practicing Krishna consciousness properly. Then she said, you and one other devotee came to my house when I was 8 years old, you know, and then he sold the books to my dad, and he put them in the bookshelf, and no one touched them. They were there for 8 years, you know. She says, when I was 16, I pulled out one of the books and I started to read the book, and she said, they turned my life completely, you know. Then I started to chant, I started to offer food, started to, you know, practice Krishna consciousness, and now I'm married, my husband, my children, we're practicing Krishna consciousness. So that book, you know, so it's so, so powerful, you know. So these time bombs you're putting out. So there's one other pastime, which is, you know, we're talking about Krishna, you know. Krishna is amazing, he can do so many wonderful things. So I think Sutapa knows Hiten and Nita, you know. So they were on holiday in Dubai. Anybody been to Dubai? Yeah. Is it a place of pilgrimage? No? No. Okay. Maybe after you've been there, yeah. No, he was searching for Krishna. You know? Like, you know, Krishna, are you on the banks of Govardhan Hill? Are you on the banks of the Yamuna? Are you on Govardhan Hill? Or are you in Dubai? And actually, Krishna was in Dubai, and this story will tell you. So they were on holiday, Nita and Hiten, and they started in the morning, you know, go early morning, go for a japa walk, you know. And Dubai is a Muslim country, so you have to be a little careful there, you know. You can't openly display your religiosity if you're not Muslim, you know. It's a little dangerous. So it's better than some other countries, but still. So they're walking on the beach early in the morning, and then suddenly Nita points, there's nobody there, very early in the morning. She says, oh, what's that, you know? So they look on the beach, they go close, and it about this high, it's a deity of Krishna, right on the beach in the sand, and there's nobody in sight early in the morning. And it's like, what's this? So then Hiten says, and Nita says, oh, we've got to take Krishna, we can't just leave him here on the beach, you know. And Hiten will say, no, this is Dubai, you know. If you do anything wrong here, they're very strict, you know. They put you in jail and all kinds of stuff. So he's like looking around. And he said, no, we can't well leave it, you know, because we don't end up in jail. Dubai is very strict, you know. And she was saying, no, you can't just leave Krishna here, you know. So then there was a little argument, you know. So then anyway, as usual, the ladies won, you know. So she said, there's nobody here. So then they took the deity, and then now it's in their house. So if you ever go to their Hiten or Nita's house, he's there, this deity of Krishna. You know, that's how, if Krishna wants to manifest, he manifests, you know, like that. No one can stop him, you know. Okay, time is getting on. I think I'll stop there. Is there any questions, any comments, or any corrections? Taruna, who? Hare Krishna. Yeah, so Bilva Mangal Thakur, he did pluck his eyes out. I think, you know, sometimes there's some sadhus that come from different sects, and they say that, if they're coming to visit, take all the women out of the temple, you know, because we want to make sure there's no women, they don't see any women, you know. But the fact is that one may be there with the objects of sense gratification, but unless one learns to control the mind, like you're alluding to, then there'll always be some attraction there. So Bilva Mangal Thakur, he was disgusted with himself, and at that point he plucked his eyes out. But it's not a recommended process, and Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas in our line, they don't endorse that. But he was disgusted with himself at that point, and then he thought that. But then he did surrender to Krishna after that, and he gave everything. So fine. If you can chant Hare Krishna and read Bhagavad Gita and engage in the devotional service of the Krishna and the Vaishnavas, and then you can purify that lust. Then you don't have to pluck your eyes out, but rather than plucking them, we can use our eyes and our ears and our tongue and our nose in the service of the Lord. So, and if somebody is very lusty, then they can pray to Vrinda Devi. Because Vrinda Devi, I was just reading to Cyrus the other day, right? That, you know, if you are drowning in an ocean of lust, you know, then Vrinda Devi will rescue you, you know. Because she's very, very kind and very merciful. So, I'm not sure if that answers your question, but it's my attempt. Unless, Stapa, would you like to add something to that? Yeah.
Making himself blind is just a practice in order to help him focus on his bhajan.
Yeah.
Worship of Krishna, and it's the worship of Krishna that helps him overcome.
Yeah, otherwise he could still pluck his eyes out and not surrender to Krishna and worship Krishna, and then the lust would still be there. Nish, were you going to say something? No, okay. Jai Krishna? Yeah.
And he was just saying that sometimes it takes quite a few days for something like that to come out of his mind. So if it wasn't there, it wouldn't have disturbed his mind. So then we have to be conscious of what we see around us. You know, when you're driving, you see all these different billboards and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
So the less the eye sees sense gratification, then it's easier and more calm for the mind to perform devotional service.
So then if one tries to keep oneself in an environment that is Krishna conscious, like residing in a holy place and with saintly, then one is less subjected to those things. But one has to increase the level of one's Krishna consciousness so that ultimately the Lord will protect you, you know. So the devotees go out in the middle of the city to go and preach, and they're in the middle of all the maya, but they're on the mission of the Lord, and if they're dedicated, then the Lord will protect them. So, Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam ki, Sri Vaishnava Acharyas ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Vaishnava Seva, Vaishnava Sangha ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.